I wonder, do you remember the song Day by Day? Yes? Was it Godspell or Jesus Christ Superstar? I can't remember. Day by day, day by day, O dear Lord, three things I pray. To see thee more clearly, love thee more dearly, follow thee more nearly, day by day. Have you ever prayed something similar? Be careful what you wish for, because you might get it. Those in ancient times looked on the sea as chaos. And even for the ancient Jews, they believed that God created the land and order. But the sea, that was something uncontrollable. And if you've ever been at sea during a storm in something smaller than a liner, you will know just how terrifying it can be. It's perhaps not surprising that in many films where there is a storm, and I'm thinking of the Poseidon Adventure, I suppose, mostly, characters bargain with God. Please save me. I don't want to drown. Save me and I'll do anything. I promise I won't carry on having an affair or beating my wife or... I wonder if they stick to it when they are rescued. People bargain with God for their lives. But what kind of God can be bargained with? I wonder what sort of God you worship. Have you created God in your own image? Do you expect God to respond to situations or prayers in the way that you would? Or have you made yourself God? Have you placed yourself at the center of the universe and therefore you expect God to do your bidding and make your wishes paramount? Is that the sort of God you worship? None of us are currently, thank you, Lord, physically at sea in a storm. But I have no doubt that there will be some here who feel that their life at the moment is very chaotic. That they are at the mercy of various factors, tossing them around and threatening to drown them. Perhaps you have a relationship which is foundering. Maybe you're under huge financial pressure. Possibly you have a boss or work colleague who's making life unbearable, or you hate your job but you feel there's no escape from it. Alternatively, you might have done something in your past and it's now coming back to haunt you. Or you may have an illness which is terminal or is or will be debilitating. Or maybe summoning up the courage to go to the doctors. Or you're awaiting test results. It may be that your children are pushing for you to move closer to them, or that you're realizing that you can no longer live in your current home. Could it be that you are anxious about your future? At every stage in life, we seem to have some anxieties. We all go through times which threaten to drown us, from which there seems no escape, over which we have no control. You are not alone. You may not hear Christ speaking to you or feel him offering you comfort, but he is in that boat with you. He is alongside you in that place over which you are aware that you have no control. As Paul has reminded us in 2 Corinthians, behold, now is the acceptable time, now is the day of salvation. Christ has brought salvation to us. Not necessarily from a storm at sea, although he may rescue your earthly body from that, or another catastrophe, or major illness, or even, as he has done in the past, bring you back from the dead. Christ has brought you eternal salvation. That's something worth celebrating. And as Paul said, wherever you are at the moment, whatever you are having to endure, whether it's affliction, hardship, beating, imprisonment, whatever calamity you are going through, no matter what you are suffering, Christ is in that boat with you. You're not enduring anything that he has not already endured, because if you think about it, he suffered physically, mentally, and spiritually. He has been full of sorrow. Remember when he wept over the state of Jerusalem. He has known hunger, was without a home, endured beatings, ridicule, imprisonment, torture. There is nothing that you can go through that he has not experienced. You are not alone. And in the middle of the storm, he speaks, "Peace, be still." To whom is he speaking? To the storm? To your chaotic situation? Or to you? We may want him to calm the storm, to sort out our problems, to get us out of this difficulty we find ourselves in, this situation over which we have no control. But is it instead to you he speaks? Be at peace. Be still. He is in the boat with you. He has bought your salvation. If you are in a dangerous or chaotic situation over which you have no control, does worrying about it achieve anything? One of my favourite verses is from Philippians chapter 4. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of Christ Jesus." Did you know that immediately before those are the words, "The Lord is near"? He is always near. We might have turned our back on him, or we might be so busy trying to sort everything out, we don't notice him. But he is near. The Lord is in the boat with you. And he is at peace. He's sleeping. Why? How could he sleep in a storm? Because he trusts God. I've just finished reading The Tattooist of Auschwitz. It's on Kindle at the moment at a very reasonable price. It's a true story of Lael and Geeta's 3 years in Auschwitz. And in an addendum to the book, his son wrote, "When my father was forced to close his business when I was 16, I came home from school just as our car was being towed away and an auction sign was going up outside our home. Inside, my mum was packing up all our belongings. She was singing. 'Wow,' I thought to myself, 'they've just lost everything and mum is singing?' She sat me down to tell me what was going on and I asked her, 'How can you just sing and pack?' With a big smile on her face, she said that when you spend years not knowing if in 5 minutes' time you will be dead, there is not much that you cannot deal with. She said, 'As long as we are alive and healthy, everything will work out for the best.' And during some of the most difficult times in that camp, they prayed to God. As Paul was later to say in his letter to the Romans, if we live, we live for the Lord, and if we die, we die for the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. One of the hardest things in life is trusting God, truly trusting God. It's very easy to say, I trust God, isn't it? But when the chips are down, do we? Or do we try and sort out the problem ourselves? Is our first response automatically to pray? It's a lesson that I must admit I'm still learning, although the more I have trusted him, the easier it has become to trust him, and the faster I am in trusting him. It's become more instinctive to trust him now with the bigger things, because I've trusted him with the smaller things and shown that he is trustworthy. But if we never learn to trust him with the smaller things, we'll never learn to trust him with the bigger things. He holds my eternity in his hands. He has bought my salvation. Why is it then that I have, time and time again, sought to find a way out of the chaos, out of the situations over which I had no control? And Jesus said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" Was he talking about their lack of faith and their fear in the storm, or after he had stilled it, when they encountered the one who could still the storm? Experience over the years may have taught us to be less fearful and anxious over the storms of life, but are we still fearful of him and of what he might ask of us? Do we perhaps worry that following him may demand too much of us? Or maybe we find it hard to respond as disciples. It can be easy to sit and listen to the teaching, but are we fulfilling Christ's commission to go and make disciples of all nations? He wasn't only talking to the original disciples. He isn't merely speaking now to those who are collared or called to specific roles as missionaries, evangelists, readers, spars. Each of us, everyone who has been baptized, every disciple is commissioned at their baptism to do their part in furthering the kingdom of God, in showing God's light and love to others. And he asks, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" Trusting God becomes the easier the more we do it. When we listen to the prompting of the Holy Spirit and step out in faith, God is able to work in the lives and hearts of others, and his kingdom is furthered. Our part is actually very tiny. And when his kingdom is furthered, others find salvation. Trust God to prepare the way for you. Trust God to bring order out of chaos. Trust God to speak with his Spirit into the hearts of others when you act according to the prompting of God. Why are you afraid? There is nothing to fear when you trust God. The words he spoke to his disciples in John's Gospel, he also speaks to you now. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. And do not be afraid."